and shine, rise and shine. Hey, Hardy, wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding.
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Bansy Fall and you want to have a prance and Hansel all in fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Tonight, Linger, what for breakfast?
Dude, apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
The 0900 Show with Craig Flowers.
Webless, good morning.
Good morning.
Believe the hype on Perry's pork chop and respect your Bryce Elder.
I'm still in a food coma from yesterday.
Bryce Elder's the man. You ready?
Let's go.
Let's go! Texas. Good morning, Texans, and everybody that got here as fast as you could from the banks of 360, which really isn't a highway, but it's wide open this morning. And if you haven't been outside, baby, it's cold outside. The big O's wearing his puffy coat. Big O wearing shorts and his puffy vest because it's chilly. If you hadn't been out there yet, don't even just pour yourself another sip cup of coffee and stay inside because let this Johnny warm up a little bit because it ain't right out there.
I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
Yesterday I was wearing sunscreen, oh.
That's crazy.
And now here I'm, you know, in a sweatshirt and Casey pulling an all-nighter. You walk in here, it smells like Whitfield's Smokehouse.
Man, I thought I was just going to bite on a brisket real quick or something. Brisket taco or anything.
He's got blankets and you ought to see this. I wish the listeners could see what we walked into here this morning. But my man pulling an all-nighter out there taking care of the beef, Jamie Frazier.
What's up, Jamie Colonel Big O?
Another famous Frazier brought to our attention this week, Tommy Frazier.
Oh, tell me. Yeah. Nebraska.
Where did you get that?
I don't know.
I haven't heard that name in forever.
Neither had we until Sid, who is like cray-cray about Nebraska Cornhuskers, brought it to our attention in extraordinary detail. I know more about Tommy Frazier now than I cared to. What a great player, though. But another famous Frazier.
Frazier. What a solid name in American history.
Good morning, Texas, and everybody that got here as fast as you could. Remember why you came, what you left, and don't mess with Texas. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of states that are great, Big O.
I get it.
But there's only one great state.
It's what's made this the greatest country in America.
That's exactly right. You hear that, and it's the truth. Save as, put it on the hard drive, because that's just the way it is. So, look, UT out on a great start against the Raging Cajuns. Bryce, respect your elder. Great battle. I mean, the Cajuns had an opportunity. Bases were loaded plenty of times. Same went into extras. They went 3-1, 1-0. But that's exactly what David Pierce needed, was to win a game like that early. Because now, Jamie, you've got – it's a baseball thing. But if you can win a game like that early – now you've got some reference points for some younger players to go, oh, I see how this works. We go get juice out of the pen. We stay. We're great two-strike hitters. We pitch out. We play great defense with when they've got runners in scoring position, because the Cajuns could have won that game several times. And that you want to win that game. Conversely, the TCU Horned Frogs lost to Cal State Fullerton.
Good program.
2-0. Mm-hmm. But also had runners on base, plenty of opportunities, and the youngsters with a lot of purple were unable to overcome Cal State Fullerton out in Cali with the kind of a little tournament that they've got going on. And then who else was I going to talk about? There was someone else that had a great start to their baseball season. Can't remember now. But there were three of them in the Big 12 that had great starts. I think it was OU. I think OU had one. So you've got today basketball tips today at noon. And interestingly enough, the Horned Frogs tip at 11. So you know, coach, it's interesting. You pre-gamed, Big O, before. When did you have your pre-game meal?
Probably no later than about 4 hours before game.
That's exact. That's what basketball does too.
Yeah.
Shaka and Jamie Dixon, whatever it is, they're 4 hours before the tip.
Uh-huh.
And baseball's interesting. College is a little different, but I've been in some major league baseball locker rooms before the 88 American League Championship Series, where Roger Clemens was on the bump for the Red Sox, and the Oakland A's had, someone will text in, big right-hander Dave something, Stewart, I think, on the mound for the A's. But you know what they had with professional baseball? They have a buffet in the locker room.
Yeah. You know that leads me to something. When you were talking, I'm learning more about baseball through you, okay? I just don't know a lot about it. I never played it so organized, so I don't really know. But when I think about momentum, it's really easy for me to see what could change the momentum of a game in basketball or the momentum of a game in football or even in a boxing match. But I can't really – baseball, how do you know momentum is shifting?
I don't know.
And I think that's a great, you know, psychological perspective, and someone who's played has to kind of explain that.
It can be the slightest thing in baseball.
Mm.
It can be a pitch that's just off the plate that you get or that you don't get.
Mm.
It can be the slightest thing that gets momentum. It's just, it's the craziest thing. And every baseball team this year is going to lose to an inferior opponent at some point. Normally happens around we just came off of week 7, which is, we've got another guest in the studio that we're going to meet here in the second segment of the show. But we just came off, for parents and college kids, the first wave of academic events that all happens around week 6 or week 7. High stress, high anxiety, poor sleep, poor nutrition.
There you go.
Just happened. It finished last week. So now there's going to be a lull, and that's going to go until about week 10 to 12. Then there'll be another wave of academic events. Sometime, normally, during that second wave, an inferior opponent will upset a superior opponent.
Wow.
For example, the year that we went 39-14 at Army and then went to the NCAA tournament, we got beat by Florida State on a home cooked call that I'm still not over, 3-2 on two unearned runs in Tallahassee. We beat South Alabama, and then we were eliminated by Auburn. But earlier in the year, the first 15 games, we got beat by Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, not coming to me.
Exactly. Their nickname is Fairleigh Ridiculous. Fairleigh Dickinson, great school, but coach, probably not a baseball powerhouse. Yeah. And we got beat by Fairleigh Dickinson, like 26-4, something cray-cray like that.
That sounds like a bad joke.
No, it's true. You couldn't stop it. We were centering baseballs right at people, and they were running into counts and centering balls that they had no business hitting. And it's just one of those games. You're going to see it happen at least once. You see it happen in the major leagues. Everyone remembers Jose Canseco coming out of the outfield to pitch in one of those cray cray games.
That's cray cray.
Now, what I do know though is baseball is a game, definitely a game of skill. You know, these guys, I think baseball players are pretty skilled. You know,
I look at baseball more of like almost like a chess match. I mean, who are you going to put in the mound against these guys? You can put a lefty, you're going to put, and I don't know that much about baseball.
You can overcoach it. Guarantee you. You can overcoach it.
For sure.
And here's what I tell you. It's baseball is problem solving.
Oh, that's right. Chess match.
Yeah. Speaking of problem solving, that reminds me of this morning's morning story.
The morning story.
His name is Dr. Bobby Brown. No, not the musician. Last week, we had our first pitch banquet in Fort Worth, TCU. Reed Ryan was set up on the stage and took some questions, along with many others from the 1994 Southwest Conference champions, a team that was the unlikely winners of the Southwest Conference the last year that the conference existed. Reed Ryan actually played a year at the University of Texas before transferring to TCU. Hmm. And, of course, his father, Nolan Ryan, was the pitching coach for TCU that year. For $1 a year, Coach Nolan Ryan was the pitching coach. Lance Brown, Hall of Fame coach, was the head coach, and it was funny. He talked about what it was like when Nolan said, I'd like to go out and make a visit to the mound. What was Lance Brown going to say? Oh, but there was another Brown in the house, and his name was Dr. Bobby Brown. 1990, long time ago. He was 94 years old, sometimes called the Golden Boy. He's a cardiologist. Cardiologist married to his sweet wife for over 61 years when she passed away in 2012. But before that, Dr. Bobby Brown played baseball. He played college baseball, but he also played professional baseball. The cardiologist who was going to medical school while he was playing professional baseball never went to spring training. He was that talented that the coaches, the GM said, yes, when you're done with your medical training, just report straight to the Major League Ball Club. Dr. Bobby Brown was present at our first pitch banquet. He lives and resides in Fort Worth. An incredible story that you can read about online. Oh, he's got his own Wikipedia page. Batting average 279, 22 home runs. Appeared in 4 World Series. Cardiologist, 94 years old. He's in 4 College Hall of Fames. He's a living legend. Dr. Bobby Brown. Funny story about Bobby Brown. His roommate was catcher Yogi Berra. And while Bobby Brown was reading books on pathology, Yogi Berra was reading comic books. Oh, the two came from very different backgrounds. Of course, Yogi Berra served in the Navy briefly. And Dr. Bobby Brown, well, he served in World War II and in the Korean War. Well, he's alive and well. Wow. He got up and spoke at our first pitch banquet after Coach Schlossnagel talked about him, read his biography a bit to the crowd, which was just overwhelmed that they had such a living legend. And he stood up with the help of some former players who escorted him up to the stage, and Dr. Bobby Brown stood in front of the podium, and he said, I would like to say a few words. Rest assured, my words will be brief, for I have to go to the bathroom. Dr. Bobby Brown, a living legend, an incredible human being that served so many causes, the great sport of baseball, the medical field, saved so many lives, 94 years old. Dr. Bobby Brown, what an incredible privilege to get to meet a man like that.
What a man.
And that's this morning's morning story. I got a great email from a young man named John Howard, 11-year-old. 11-year-old who was introduced to us by way of our daughters, Big O, because you, our daughters have babysat for your children.
Yes, they have.
We have 3 daughters, and they're CPR qual, all that stuff. They babysat. That's what they did. That's how they earned money. And this young man must have been, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years old when our daughter babysat for him. And now he's 11 years old. He's fired up. He's got a great lid. You can tell he's got some product working in his hair.
There you go.
Looks like, you know, this handsome dude with dimples, and he's got, you know, Nike gear on, and he's been wanting to meet with us now for a while. And he wanted to ask us some questions about the military, and he took a picture with you in between shows of you and Casey.
I couldn't tell him anything about the military.
No, you couldn't, but nope. Man, he loved to flash the hook 'em sign.
That's right, he did it well.
When we come back from the banks of 360, it'll feature our young man, 11-year-old John Howard. We're going to spend about 5-10 minutes talking to this young man and what's going on in his life. He's got some questions for both myself and Commander Frazier. We'll be back.
I love the nightlife. I love my Bud Light. I like them cold and tall. I ain't much on mowing thick grass. I'm too slow for working too fast. I don't do windows, so honey, don't ask. But I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Oh, we got a lot of guests lined up here from the banks of 360 this morning. And one of them, I love that, Wibbles. One of them is somebody we've talked to, and Octavius, you've spoken with before.
Yeah.
Jennifer Wright from My Player to Player.
That's right.
Who's really, this is interesting. I really think that... John Howard, you'll get a kick out of this, too. Listening to Jennifer's passion about linking up young professional athletes with some folks that are, you know, mentors for them. Coming to the Karis Cafe and Cantina Hotline, Jennifer Wright, welcome to the High Ground. Jennifer, tell us all about My Player to Player.
Hey, guys.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Morning, Octavius. Yeah. So basically, it sort of came to me when I discovered a gap in our community, which is really a misunderstanding, specifically with our young guys. I had a freshman at the time, and just communication and negativity and all those types of things. Instead of complaining or letting it get me down, I started thinking, okay, how can I make an impact? I believe in training yourself to think positively and in really empowering people, especially the youth. And I knew that, mommy wasn't going to be the change. It really had to come from these kids and these teenagers. And so that's when my player-to-player was born. I had a hand-selected group of young athletes that, coaches and teachers referred to me. And now we're up to 60 high school student athletes that train and mentor these middle school and elementary age kids with either one-on-one private lessons or camps and clinics. And, it could be a middle school kid that, is an A-team athlete that wants to train with a D1 commit, or it could be, my little 10-year-old nugget that doesn't know what the heck she wants to do and wants to try lacrosse this week. So,
yeah, Jennifer, we spent some time together. And it was a fascinating time. I'm so impressed with what you're doing and your energy, and just you've been brilliant in how you've connected our community. Speak a little bit about the development piece of the young people who work for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I love my coaches. I'm crazy passionate about them. Octavius knows I have a day job. I run a nationally recognized recruiting firm. And with that experience, this is their company. I'm teaching them in turn business. I mean, it can be anything from filing taxes to, they helped create the brand and the logo. Everything comes from them. We have conference calls that they have to participate in. They have, guest speakers quarterly is our mission to do that. We created a nonprofit as of October 1st that those guys are running. We have a sports club which has gently used equipment. We're going to start pushing out to the community. That's going to be, they're going to have access to getting. We're going on a mission trip to Roatan over spring break, where we're going to do some sports clinics over there at orphanages.
So Jennifer, this is Craig. So let's see, we've got a young man in here who's an athlete, young John Howard. Let's say that John wanted to get linked up with a coach for an hour. How would he go about for a weekend meeting with a baseball coach, for example?
Absolutely. So we only have high school coaches. I should clarify that. Once they graduate, or once they start day one of college, they're alum. But what John and his parents would do would be to hop online and look at their profile. He can, look and see what coach he wants to select. They're wonderful people on and off the court. So you'll not only see their athletic credentials, but just what they do from a volunteer basis. And whoever looks like somebody he's interested in, then you click on there and you look at their schedule and line up together. And
it's really cool.
Yeah, all communication goes through the website. So we line them up, and they decide where they want to meet.
Tell us the website, Jennifer.
So it's www.myplayertoplayer2.com. And you can follow us on Instagram, too, at myp2p.
Myplayer2player.com. So you could, for example, there are a couple great coaches that I've said, high school players at Lake Travis High School Baseball, for example. And a couple of them are really good, and they've already committed to D1 programs, and you can choose them on your drop down menu, and they will go meet with you for an hour, John, and work with you on whatever area it is that you want to be a part of.
Yeah, Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for engaging with our community, and just really, really getting in the ground roots of development for our young people. I know they're places that you can meet that these players can train, but you mentioned something that was really important, and that is sometimes these players can actually come into the home and do some training.
That's absolutely right, and I wanted to do that that stemmed from my little one I spoke about earlier. If I'm sitting there cooking dinner or doing something, and you know, instead of her sitting in front of her screen, I want, you know, a coach to come over and teach her how to dribble or whatever. Uh-huh. Then I can schedule them to come on over and while I'm there and get some work done.
The website is My Player to Player. Jennifer Wright, who works making all this happen for the community right here in Central Texas, linking up young players with mentors so that they can get better on and off the fields and courts of friendly strife. Jennifer, thank you for joining us morning on The High Ground. We'll have you back on perhaps in studio one time. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Bye-bye. Now we turn to a young man, John Howard, 11 years old.
John Howard.
You've got some questions for me, and I'm Big O's going to help you with that microphone, and for Commander Frazier. And first, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you in studio.
Me too.
Well, you've got, what's your sister's name?
Ava Howard. I'm sorry, that's Caitlin Howard.
And how old is Caitlin?
8 years old.
So you brought your 8-year-old sister with you in town, in studio this morning. Now, you had 10 questions for us, but you and I picked 5 questions that you could ask on air live to myself or to Commander Frazier, and then we'll get the other 5 questions off air. First of all, I tell you this: thank you for even wanting to learn more about the armed services, because you know less than 0.5% of Americans serve in the armed forces. But as you and I mentioned in our email exchange, that there are a lot of different ways to serve one's country or one state or one community. And you just heard someone on the air, Jennifer Wright, who's doing that. She saw a need. She made it one of her causes, and she served the cause. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we never try to convince someone to serve in the military because we did. We just say there are a lot of ways to serve one's country, and the fact that you're even interested in talking about this is pretty cool. What do you think, Jamie?
I think it's amazing.
It's impressive.
Yeah. All right, so you got 5 questions for us. Send it.
So the first one is, why did you want to join the Army, and why not the Marines, Navy, Air Force, and the others?
Well, so for myself, my father was in the military. He right here from San Antonio MacArthur High School, and he went to Trinity University, and he played baseball. So I knew baseball was going to be part of our life for a long time, but I wanted to play in the Southwest Conference. So we didn't have the you know, baseball scholarships are really different than football scholarships. So I needed to figure out a way to pay for a lot of the college, and the Army has this program called ROTC. And so you can become an officer in the Army 3 ways: through going to a place called West Point, or you can go to ROTC, or you can go to the Officer Candidate School, which is only about 2-3% of the folks go through Officer Candidate School. But they often make the best officers because they come from the enlisted ranks. So I joined so I could help pay for school, but I wanted to play baseball in college. I did not want to have a career in the Army. Jamie?
I actually wanted to fly. My dad was a retired lieutenant colonel from the Air Force, and played football in college, didn't go to ROTC, and I applied for the Air Force and the Navy and the Marine Corps, and all the flight slots were a 2-year waiting list to get in. And at that time, the Army would say, hey, listen, we can give you a flight slot, you'll be flying helicopters, but we can get you in about 6 months. So after I completed college, I applied for it, I got accepted, I went to Officer's Candidate School.
So interesting. All right, question number 2.
So what college or academy did you go to, and what did you major in?
It's interesting. So I have a degree in economics, and I will never use that degree in economics. So I tell listeners, major in something that you are interested in, that drives you. If you want to major in radio, TV, film, you must major in radio, TV, film. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a degree in economics, which sounds really interesting, but you really weren't into it.
And John, myself, I have a degree in economics. Never used it. I can talk about Keynesian theory. No one will listen to me.
There's a course called econometrics that I still don't get, but I was there. Next question.
So how long were you in the Army? And also, did you do reserves?
So I did not serve in the reserves. I served 25 years in the Army, but keep in mind I never had any intention on making the Army a career. I was going to serve 4 years in the Army and then get out and pursue a degree in acting or the arts or in baseball, believe it or not. So I had no intention of making the Army a career. But what's cool about the Army is you can do just about anything you want in the Army. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be a nurse, you can be a pilot like Jamie, you can work in intelligence, you can be some of the great guys that I worked with on the ground. The infantrymen, those guys are incredible. So I got to serve along some very special people. Jamie.
What was the question?
How long were you in?
Oh, I was in. Actually, I had a weird career. I did almost 9 years active duty in the Army, and then I got out to pursue a career in the airlines. And I went from active duty Army to the reserves in the Navy, and I was in the reserves for 17 years.
So he flew 737 jets for United. Is that right?
Yo.
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. No, I'm good.
All right, next.
Was it hard to be a dad in the Army?
Well, it really was, but I have a wife, Miss Beth, who you may have heard talk about on the air, who really focused on making sure that when I wasn't there, that we handled our business with our girls. And when I was there, that I had to be fully present. So we have three girls. You know one of them or two of them, been your babysitter. So things worked out okay, but we had to be really intentional about how we raised our children because we raised them in a lot of different places, France, Arizona, North Africa, New York. And so we had to make sure that they were grounded in some very fundamentals that were important to us in life.
I don't
yeah,
have
good question
good,
for you,
I don't
Jamie.
I have a really good story for this.
Jamie is single with no kids, John.
Divorced, 23 ex-girlfriends. I don't know what to talk to you about, John. I mean, it's a tough. I went to Iraq. I went to Iraq 10 times. And so I was pretty not home ever between 2003 and about 2012. It's a very tough life, but you look at the colonel, he made it work, and a lot of my friends, they made it work. But it is it's tough to it's tough on your family. You got to have the family support, and it's but yeah, it can work, but it's very tough.
John Howard with us, 11-year-old here from Central Texas area, asking us his fifth question of the morning. He's interested in the military, and we're going to spend one last minute with him. Read us your last question that you have there, John.
So, did you ever get teased in the Army with having the last name Flowers?
That's a good one.
It's a great question. So, I got to serve with a bunch of combat arms infantry guys that were really extraordinary folks and some unique guys that worked in some other world. And so one thing you learn in the Army is you've got to develop the attribute to laugh at yourself, because eventually everyone's going to do something silly, whether it's report with a name like Flowers or eat a safety dot. So one of the things you learn in the military and in sports, by the way, sitting right next to you is a Longhorn legend. You better have the ability to have thick skin and be the first person to laugh at yourself. When you make a mistake, if you're the first person to laugh at yourself, you're going to set yourself apart. By the way, it marks you as a gentleman.
Frazier, I've never really had a... It's funny in the military because in aviation size, and actually in college sports and just sports, you usually get nicknames. And we address each other with call signs in aviation all the time. And not so much in the Army, but in the Navy, there's a lot of that. But you never really get teased about your last name unless it's... I do. We had one guy named Buffington, and of course his call sign was Buffy.
So. There was a comedian named Josh Blue who won Last Comic Standing, a great comedian, and he came. We booked him. He came to West Point, and he came out and did. He has cerebral palsy, and he's the first to laugh. If you want to see someone who laughs at themselves, go look up Josh Blue, great comedian, and he came out, and the first thing he said was, "How can you be a broad-shouldered, square-jawed freedom fighter with a last name like Flowers?" John Howard meeting with us here this morning. I'm so glad we've been trying to put this together, John. Now, look, I just gave you a challenge coin. That's the coin that was given to me at West Point in the first department that I worked. So I want you to have that as kind of a memory of what we did here this morning. Appreciate you reaching out to me and to Jamie and getting to meet the Big O and Casey this morning. And I'm glad you brought your sister, Caitlin, and your dad, Jason, with you this morning. So,
John.
Yes, sir.
You're my kind of guy.
We'll be back from the banks at 360.
This is Trace Adkins wishing my friend Craig Flowers all the best in Austin, Texas. I'll see you on the high ground.
You bet you will, Trace Adkins. He's always on the high ground.
Tall,
about, he's about 6'10 with boots. I've seen him do some things. Where's a knee brace? Got to wear that knee brace. I've seen him get out of that, come out of that trailer without that knee brace on. And man, he gets a little wiggly.
Oh, no.
A little piggly wiggly. You ever heard of Piggly Wiggly? That was a big deal in San Antonio.
I grew up going to Piggly Wiggly.
Piggly Wiggly and Mr. M stores.
I remember that.
Woohoo, son. Longhorns tip today at noon versus Oklahoma State Cowboys in Stillwater. Aggies in Stillwater. A little orange up there goes a long way. That's a different breed of cat up there. The Stillwater Aggies are 2-9. UT is 6-6, looking to go 7-6. Another game that's interesting is the Horned Frogs tipping this morning at 11 a.m., pregame meal at 7, against the Oklahoma Sooners.
The Sooners.
And let's, you know, what TCU, Jamie Dixon, they lost a lost one against Kansas earlier, and that last two efforts were terrible. So, look, you've seen your alma mater in basketball play as if they're in a Sweet 16.
I don't know what it is. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Yep. I don't know.
I don't understand.
It's a mystery. It's a quagmire.
It is.
I don't know. Longhorns win their season opener in baseball against the Raging Cajuns. Respect your elder. Bryce Elder was on the mound through great, unbelievable. And then you've got the Aggies won last night, and they're open. Rob Childress has shut out against Fordham in College Station, and the Horned Frogs lose to Cal State Fullerton. So that's kind of an interesting way. Horns are at the drum. So get on in there and get on in there. Huevos, yesterday you had a significant emotional event occur in your life. Tell us about it.
So we went to Perry's Steakhouse yesterday.
Pork Chop Friday. Jamie Frazier made reservations for 8, and we had 7 of the seats filled at 12 o'clock.
We were missing the big O.
But one seat, the seat of honor, the big O.
Next time.
This thing, I swear these people take these pork chops and send them to heaven for prep, and heaven sends them back down and says, you may now prepare.
And the funny part is the Friday pork chop is the smaller pork chop.
Okay, I'm getting sad.
I was trying to explain that to somebody last night. I was going, evidently there's a dinner pork chop that's bigger.
I don't get it.
An 18-ounce pork chop.
What? Where do you get that?
When you get to 18 ounces, we're talking like a pound and 2 ounces?
So do we have to like split it open like butterfly?
I don't know. We're trying to figure out how many pork chops is in a pig. We don't know.
It's interesting.
Look, I've heard about this thing. I tried to get E. Hogan to join us and a couple others and you, Big O, but Jamie Frazier made the reservations 3 weeks in advance. The line has backed out all along. They ran out of parking.
Jamie, thanks, man.
No. Wish you were there, Bo. Big O.
By the way, if you go to Perry's and the valet parking is full, and you try to get into that parking garage across the street, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about, leave the F-150 at home.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay, I walked up, and Flowers just pulled off, and he's going over to the parking garage. You know, they have one of those things that hangs over to see if your truck will make there. He's going in there like about a mile an hour, just like scooping up, and he's like reaching up out of his car, touching the
thing. That's true. It's like that West by God, Virginia joke I told last week. Suddenly I'm in the middle of it. I mean, I got my vehicle. I'm going, please don't hit the top. Please don't. I mean, who's making these? You're in Texas.
I know.
And it says 6'6" clearance. And I was like the Jaws. I don't see any cops around. Sense. I say we go for it.
I'm 6'5" and a half.
Let me tell you what doesn't help. I've got a crick in my neck this morning. Oh. It's why? Because as I'm driving through the garage, I'm ducking my body.
Like you're going to make it smaller.
Yeah, I'm sinking my head into my shoulders thinking that that's going to make my truck shorter. And I did it because I had to park up on the 9th Johnny around and around. And I'm going like 2 miles an hour. And the people with the little electric cars, and they're behind me. They're like 12 of them behind me.
Meet me.
And I'm compact only. get on up there. But Perry's, listen, if you haven't been, if you've been to Perry's, you know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Man.
If you haven't been to Perry's, get on there and get on in there. Because
I've been there one time. I just got a steak, though.
I'll tell you, Craig meets everybody. I don't know. Oh, if he's got to get the gab.
Yeah, he does.
And within about 5 minutes, the manager was over talking. James Lucas. That's what a great guy.
He was.
Super good guy.
Michael was our server there. We had a great table, but just get the dadgum pork chop.
Okay.
Look, I used to say if you go to Morocco and you don't visit Marrakesh, you haven't been to Morocco. If you go to West Point, you don't go into the mess hall somehow. You really haven't seen. If you come to Austin and you don't have a pork chop.
At Perry's?
At Perry's.
Whew.
And by the way, they're 30. Mr. Perry's still with us.
Yeah, Texas guy.
Started out in Houston. 34 Perry's restaurants. And they're not sponsors here, but I'm just. Jamie, you've been working on this for. You got to have reservations.
Yeah, 3 weeks in advance.
I've never seen Huevos so happy.
Huevos was a happy man.
I was
man.
Extremely happy. That pork chop was
It didn't
amazing.
Even look like a pork chop.
No, it didn't. They brought it out to me, and I was like, what is this thing?
Little applesauce. No, what he's ordering all day long? Dr. Pepper.
He had Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah.
He had
like, oh, yeah.
Wow. That's a little cray-cray.
I'm just saying.
I had a Malbec blend. James Lucas, thank you for I can't wait to get back on in there. But, man, that was
Did they have Texas wines?
I'm glad you asked that question. Because James Lucas and I had a discussion about
that. There we go.
Now, here's what they do have. They do have a Texas Tempranillo evening where they have special events with Texas wines, but they currently are not serving any Texas wines. And you know how I feel about that.
I know.
And I'm doing my best. I mean, James and I had a good conversation on the side. But look, here's what I say. Texas winemakers, help us. We're giving you the answers to the test.
Yeah.
We've got the domains, the voice of Texas wines, the father of Texas. All we're trying to help you. Somebody call James Lucas if you're a winemaker in Texas and you got award-winning Tempranillo and get on in there and get on the menu.
That's right. Yeah. I don't even drink wine, but I'm a little bitter about not biting on one of those pork chops. So I knew this would get you going.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
So I'm all in your head this morning.
Believe the hype. Yeah. This thing, I couldn't believe it. I was like, come on, how good can a pork chop be?
I believe it. You know good food, bro. I know you do.
I've eaten some things.
You know good food.
I've eaten burnt crickets with the British SAS and fried grasshoppers and foie gras.
Oysters, bad oysters, good oysters.
You know what they had, Big O, for dipping sauce there?
What?
Applesauce.
Really? Pork chops and applesauce.
Applesauce? It was good.
I bet it is.
It was great.
I'll eat it.
It's homemade. But you know, it came in a little Johnny,
like a little dipping sauce.
Like I'll ask a little bit more. I need to ask for more?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, give me two.
It was like in an espresso cup. Yeah, you definitely need two.
I need two.
I was like, you know, hold the potatoes.
Keep I'll tell you.
Give me some more.
I want the pork chop. Yeah, all that bread, all the potatoes. Give me the meat.
I didn't dip that pork chop in anything. I just ate it.
Oh, my gosh.
Weavis didn't say a word. Amazing. He was just taking pictures.
Was it tender, Weavis?
Yes. Yes. They had what's called the eyelash on one side. It's kind of the dark meat.
Ooh.
And then on the right side of the pork chop, he had like three ribs right there for you. It was amazing.
And I'll tell you, it's $15.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Ain't nobody walked away hungry.
You can 800, 800 they serve at lunch. 800 pork chops.
What?
On Fridays.
They have
800?
It's a gorgeous place, and they have their smoker. They built the whole restaurant around the smoker. It was an old bank. We can go have dinner in the vault.
We know
downstairs.
The history. That's right. You can reserve the vault.
Yes, sir.
Everything that goes in the vault stays in the vault.
Maybe I'll take Mama down.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking Miss Beth.
Take Mama down
I'm
the
bringing
vault.
Miss Beth because I haven't even told her about it. I can't explain it.
I dig it.
All right, here we go. When we come back, we've got Sean Newberg joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He's going to talk about a little Texas wine action. And look, we got the Longhorns tipping today at the drum at noon against Oklahoma. What did I say, Jamie?
Nothing.
At Oklahoma against Oklahoma State, and Horned Frogs playing against Oklahoma today, and of course UT will be on the bump again for another game against the
Horns.
Ragins. We'll be back.
The Texas Wine of the Week,
brought to you by Benchmark Business Solutions. They're hiring. If you're interested, hit them up. Yeah, great program. Great team right there. I had a red wine with my Perry's pork chop yesterday. Thank you, Jamie, for putting that together.
Oh, glad to have you guys.
The morning story was about Dr. Bobby Brown. If you haven't heard that, you can go back to hornfm.com. Listen to the show on podcast. That story alone, remarkable human. Brown is the last living member of the Yankees team that won the 1947 World Series. There are no living players who played on an earlier World Series winning team. Dr. Bobby Brown, amazing. Cardiologist, Hall of Famer. He was the president of the American League for a while. And he's saving lives. Right now, we're trying to save and grow the Texas wine industry. And coming to the Vaqueros and Cantina Hotline is Sean Newberg. Welcome to the High Ground. Sean, talk to us about Texas wine.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing today?
We're great. Send it.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about West Cave Cellars today. It's a great little boutique winery. It's right near Austin here. It's just past Hamilton Pool, down Hamilton Pool Road. Little place. All their wines are 100% Texas grapes, which is not all places do that, even in Texas, where they can have their grapes here. They've got Cabernet wine grapes, which is rare here, too. And I'm going to talk about their Cab Franc. Oh, my gosh, it's delicious. They've got it flavored with green pepper. It's got some pomegranate in it. It's a nice big bold wine, and usually Cab Franc is something they use as a blending wine, and it stands off by itself.
Well, it's rare that you have Texas. It's rare, Sean, that you have Cabs, grapes grown here in Texas. Normally, it's a Tempranillo, so they've uncovered a way to grow these Cabs. And what did you tell me yesterday when we were talking that I think their grapes are 8 years old, something like that, or they're
no. They planted these cab vines in 1999, so they're
awesome.
20 years old.
Wow.
Well, you've been out to California and tell that story that we've been out to wine tastings in California, and you start scratching your head one day.
Yeah, my wife and I decided to take this great trip to Sonoma County. I'd never been, and we go down. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it is like overwhelming. How many wineries are? I mean, everywhere you look, there's vines. It's crazy. But we're going to these really big wineries and tasting their wines, and I'm looking at my wife, and I'm like, this is no better than where we're going to Florence, little old Florence, just outside of Georgetown. They've got great. Why are we coming all the way to California to drink these wines? It's crazy how good these wines are, and they just don't get the pub.
Well, we're trying to solve that, Sean. You're part of that. We've got some great folks out there who are working with us as well. But, some of these restaurants right here in beautiful Austin, we love to say keep it weird. Let's keep it Texas. Let's bring in some of these award-winning wines right here in some of these great restaurants like Perry's, like The Grove, and get these things going. This is a two-way, the winemakers themselves have something to do with this. I mean, we can only, Jamie and I and Big O and Huevos can only do so much. At some point, they've got to, help us penetrate this market for them. They've got award-winning wines.
I agree 100%. Everywhere I go, I try to grab cards from every place. If I can meet the owner, I grab a card and I will hand it to any wine bar I go to, try these wines, try to get them to do the Texas wines. And it's just, hopefully it's working on both ends. You're right.
Well, we challenged our listeners to come up with their Texas wine of the week, and you and I have been in contact for a couple of weeks now. Tell us this morning, we're going to spare the listeners Jamie's Pepe Le Pew accent, and you tell us, describe to us what today's Texas wine of the week is.
Well, it's going to be the Cab Franc from West Cave Cellars. It's my personal favorite wine. The last vintage was 2015. Bad news is it sold out. I just looked today, but I've got two bottles if you want to come on over, Craig, and have one. But they flavor it with green peppers, black pepper, pomegranate. It's big, bold. I'm no sommelier by any way, shape, or form, but when you spin the glass and you watch the legs come down, it's got good legs. It's not acidic as a lot of cabs can be. It's great with anything. It would be great with those pork chops you were talking about. Man, I'm going to have some for lunch.
Well, appreciate you joining us from the High Ground. Sean Newberg, just a connoisseur of Texas wines, and he gets out there with his wife just about every other weekend or so to visit these great Texas winemakers, and appreciate you being a part of the show. In this segment, the Texas Wine of the Week, we'll have you back on and keep reporting. Good Scouts report, and when you're out there, have these winemakers get in contact with us. We'd love to promote them.
Will do.
Thank you, Sean. Well, today you've got the Longhorns tipping at the drum at noon. Jamie, you going to any basketball games today?
I'm actually going to the Longhorn game, so I'll be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You going by yourself? Or you?
No, I'm going out with a couple buddies from Littlewood Rose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. We got a noon tip right there. Yeah. Longhorns trying to go to 7-6, and of course the Longhorn baseball team, Big O, trying to go to 2-0.
Hook up.
Bryce Elder. Respect the Elder. He had a heck of an outing.
Elder.
Amazing. Dr. Bobby Brown, if you got his baseball card, hang on to it. The only living member of the 1947 World Series champion New York Yankees. There you go, Bucky. We'll see you on the high ground. We'll be back next Saturday from the banks at 360. Take care of one another. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing when you're feeling in the dump.